John chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading at verse 7, but keep your Bibles open. I'm going to refer to some other verses in John chapter 10 a little bit later on. Stand with me as we read God's Word together. We're going to read verses 7 through 10. Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." God, speak to us now from your holy word. Reveal to us who you are and make yourself known in this place, in our hearts. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see. Open our spiritual ears that we may hear. And make our heart tender to the whispers of your Holy Spirit. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to continue this theme, this series of messages that I've been preaching on the I Ams out of the Gospel of John. We've looked at several of them, and this one is similar to ones that we looked at last week, when I preached on I Am the Good Shepherd. Today Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." But he still uses that analogy of the sheep, and I want to talk about why he does that. Because the Bible compares us to sheep. I've often thought there were other animals maybe we could have been compared to. I grew up on a farm, and we didn't raise any sheep, but we had pigs. And when I go with Baptists to meals, I sometimes wonder if why not that analogy. You ever try to drive a pig? You ever try to lead a pig? Impossible to do. And I thought, man, that would fit. And then I realized most Jews don't raise pigs. And Jesus was Jewish, and so he didn't use the pig analogy, and he could have used an oxen or a camel. You know, camel, I've never been around camels much, but they tell me they're stubborn and ornery, and they spit. Like some preachers when they get excited, you know, just... I've often wondered why he didn't compare us to horses or mules or... some of those things. Jesus didn't compare us to any of that. He compared us to sheep. And so I think it's important to know why Jesus did that. And we need to know the characteristics of sheep in order to know why Jesus compared us to sheep. He said, "I am the door to the sheep." He looked upon the people of Jerusalem. He said, "They are like sheep without a shepherd." And the last passage we looked at 2 weeks ago, he said, "I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep." Well, what are the characteristics of the sheep? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I want to spend a little bit more time on it here. One of the characteristics of sheep is they are helpless without the shepherd. They are helpless without the shepherd. They tend to stray, and they're slaughtered by wild animals without the protection and the care of the shepherd. Sheep tend, left to themselves, not to survive. Their survival is totally dependent upon the good shepherd who watches over them, who cares for them. And Jesus says, "You are sheep, and I am your shepherd." And the reason he calls us sheep is because we still have that same tendency to stray, to get into trouble, to be attacked from the outside, and we need the protection and the help of the good shepherd. We are helpless without the shepherd. And we need to know that. I know some of us feel like we can pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and we can handle anything that comes along. We can face anything that comes our way. But I want you to know we are entirely helpless without the shepherd. My wife got a phone call yesterday from my daughter. I hope I can share this okay. But she called, she was able to spend some time with us last weekend. She didn't know this last weekend, but she called yesterday. She says, "Mom, I've got a lump." And she said, the doctor wants me to go get some things checked out this Wednesday. And immediately fear leapt up in my heart. I had a sister who died of breast cancer at age 52. I had a dad who died of cancer in his mid-70s. And so anytime you think of the word cancer, and many of you have faced it, I know, fear leaps up in your heart. You know what? I'm totally helpless. There's absolutely nothing I can do. But I have a shepherd who can. He is our help. He is our hope. And whether it's your children or your own life or your grandchildren, you have to place them in the care of the shepherd and trust his graces to see you through. We are helpless without the shepherd. Secondly, their eyesight is poor. Sheep are nearsighted. They see things up close. They can't see things very far away. So they don't see danger that's coming, and that's why they tend to wander off. They put their head down. They begin to graze, and they start eating grass, and they just go from one good piece of, you know, pasture to another, and it just seems like things are going along, and all of a sudden they look up and they're away from the rest of the sheep. They're away from the shepherd, and they've wandered off and got into trouble, and it's because they don't see danger coming. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, watches over his sheep because he sees things we don't see. Just like as parents, we see things, a danger for our children that they don't see. I heard some of you tell some tales the other day about silly stuff you did when you were kids. You didn't see the potential danger of some of the stupid stuff you did. Whether it's jumping off of a tall building or shooting BB guns at each other. Some of you look, who did that? Well, me and my brother did all the time. That Christmas story, we took the Red Ryder Daisy BB gun and we shot at each other all the time. And I'm surprised I didn't put his eye out. I came close a time or two. He was bigger than I was, but I could shoot and run. I did not see the problem at the time, the potential for danger. I was young and inexperienced and just plain stupid. And as Christians, spiritually speaking, we do stupid stuff all the time. And the Heavenly Father puts His good shepherd in our lives, so He warns us about the dangers. Every law, every rule, every word that is written in this book is given to us for our good, for our benefit, and for His glory, to warn us of the dangers that happens and that can occur when we live outside of His law and His will. Some people think they know better than God. It's because their eyesight is poor. Their spiritual eyesight is poor. They cannot see the dangers that come. But God knows the dangers, and He warns us of those dangers. And if we will listen to Him, He will watch over us. But there's another characteristic of sheep. They're lovable, and they're submissive. Sheep nuzzle up to the shepherd. They love being around the shepherd. They're submissive to the shepherd. They listen to His voice. They hear His call. They follow Him where He leads. Those are the qualities of sheep that I like. As sheep, we need to follow the good shepherd. We need to listen to His voice. We need to be submissive to His will for our hearts and for our lives. But there's another quality, and that is, sheep just live for the moment. They're thoughtless. They don't think ahead. That's the reason they tend to wander off. They're just thoughtless. And sometimes we're that way too, aren't we? We don't think through things. A few Wednesday nights ago, we started our Bible study talking about the young lady who sued her parents. Did you hear about that? She left home and then wanted her parents to pay for her college education and her private school tuition and give her a stipend so she could do whatever she wanted to do. And we talked about that on Wednesday night. And most of us were sort of up in arms about it. You know, we read the story and we thought, man, if that was my kid, I know, here's what I'd do, you know. What a spoiled, rotten little girl. Immature. But here's what I share with the Wednesday night group. Spiritually speaking, I'm more like her than her parents. Because I think God owes me. I want God to give me what I want, and then I go do whatever I want and live however I want. And it's because I am thoughtless to the way and to the will of God. And if you would be honest with yourself and you think about it from a spiritual perspective, I think most of you would have to agree you're more like the young spoiled girl than the parents. Spiritually speaking, you think God owes you. You think God ought to give you whatever you want when you want it so you can do any way you want to live. You can live any way you want to live. Go anywhere you want to go. Do whatever you want to do. And God says, if you don't live by my rules, you cannot expect me to bless you. If you're not willing to live by my rules, you cannot expect me to bless your rebellion and disobedience. See, sheep are thoughtless animals. But what are the needs of the sheep? The characteristics of the sheep? They're helpless. Their eyesight is poor. They're lovable, submissive. They are thoughtless. But what are the needs of the sheep? Spiritually speaking, we need two things. We need access to God. And I think that's one reason Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door for the sheep. I am the door. We need access to God. He put it another way in John chapter 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There are not many ways to God. There are not many doors to heaven. There's not many doors to a relationship with the living God of this universe. Verse, there's one. Jesus said, I am the door. He did not say, I am a door. He said, I am the door to the sheep. Jesus is the one who gives us access to God. But also, the need of the sheep is not only access, but it's security. Security. There were two kinds of sheepfolds in the day in which Jesus lived. One was what we would call a communal sheepfold that was in the city, and all the shepherds would come together into the city, and all the sheep would be placed in this one common communal sheepfold. All the sheep would go in there together, and then they would close the doors, they would close the gates, they would lock the city gates at night, and then the shepherd would lay outside of the sheepfold to wait until the morning came, and then he would get up and he would call his sheep by name, and the sheep would hear the voice of their shepherd, and he would lead them out of the city and into the pasture. That's one picture. But there were times that the sheep would go so far out into the pastures, out into the countryside, it was too long a journey to go back into the city, and so they would have these stock pens, so to speak. It would be Just a sort of a corral made up of rocks and maybe briars and wood and sticks. And it would have one opening. It would be just an enclosure. And all the sheep would go in and have one opening. There wouldn't even be a gate at the opening. But after all the sheep were inside the enclosure, the shepherd would lay across the enclosure so that none of the sheep would wander out at night without him knowing about it. The shepherd would lay across the opening to that enclosure. He became the door to the sheep. No sheep could wander out, but no danger could wander in. The shepherd was there to protect. The shepherd was there to secure the sheep. Now, some people try to find access to God and security through other doors. Some people think that if they just baptized in a church somewhere, they've been baptized, their sins are forgiven, and everything's going to be all right. But listen to me. You can be baptized and get wet. That does not secure your eternal soul and give you a home in heaven. You have to know the door. You have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We take communion once a month here. But some people think if they just take communion, their sins are forgiven. If they take the grape juice and the bread, that their sins are forgiven. If they do that on a regular basis, their sins are forgiven and they don't have to do anything else. That by their works of taking communion, that they're going to enter into heaven. Their sins are forgiven and God is obligated to forgive. My friends, that bread and grape juice, that bread and wine does not save you from sin. They simply are symbolic of the true blood and true bread that came down out of heaven, who gave His life for you. His name is Jesus. Jesus shed His blood and gave His life. His body was broken for you on Calvary's cross. The door of good works does not save you. The door of church attendance and membership does not save you. The only door that can save you and give you security and access to God is Jesus Christ Himself. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But my friends, it is through Jesus that we have access to God and security from God. Only through Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus, I remind you, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to have access to God. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. I've shared this before. I'll share it again. Some of you probably weren't here when I said it the first time. I used to watch. Sometimes I just wanted to get mad some weekday morning, so I would turn on the Donahue Show. Remember the Donahue Show? And I remember one day he had an elderly preacher, well-known preacher. Very well-known, very well-read. His books read by people all over the country. Had a lot of good things to say, but this made me angry that day. Donahue looked at him and he said, "Oh, Dr. Peel. Norman Vincent Peale. You're not one of these Christians who believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, are you? You're not He's not the only way to get there, is he?" And Dr. Peale says, "Oh no, my God is so big, he can say to the Muslim, come on in. To the Buddhist, come on in. To the Hindu, come on in. My God's big enough to just bring us all into heaven." Listen, that may sound good, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes but the Father but by me." I don't care what Norman Vincent Peale said. He made my Jesus a liar. Jesus says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that find it." God is not going to take everybody into heaven. He's only going to take those who have trusted Jesus as the Savior of their soul and as the Lord of their life. There is no other way. I don't care who says it. There is no other way. And I believe if God loved us so much, I just close the doors of the church. I go out and have a good time because it wouldn't matter what we do, how we live, whatever. Everybody's going to go to heaven anyway. What difference does it make? But I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, that unless people trust Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord, they will not make it to heaven when they die. There is only one door, and that is Jesus Himself. He said, "I am the door." Not only that, but if you believe that God could excuse our sin, overlook our sin, then why was it necessary for Jesus to die? Why would He have to suffer? If God is a big enough God that He could just overlook our sin and excuse our sin, why would He put His Son through the agony of the cross were it not necessary for people to be saved? Jesus is the only way. The need of the sheep is access to God and security from God. And here's how secure we are. Look at verse 27 through 20, verse 30 of chapter 10. Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." How long does eternal life last? Think about that. If eternal life lasts forever, and you can lose it, how long did it last? Not eternally. You've redefined life and you've redefined eternal. If you can have salvation, if you can have eternal life and then lose it, it's not eternal, it's not life. Here's what Jesus said. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them and they will never perish." Now I want to tell you, in English, it sounds pretty simple and pretty plain. But there is, in English, we're not supposed to use double negatives. You know, like say, ain't never going to happen. But we sometimes use it to emphasize it. Well, in the original language, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. And in this particular case, there is here what I would call a quadruple negative. And the best translation, the best English translation I can come up with of this particular phrase, Jesus says this, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall know not, never, ever perish." I give unto them eternal life, and they shall know not, never, ever perish. And what is that promise based on? "My Father who has given to them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And here's the image that Jesus has. He says, "I hold you in the palm of my hand. I am the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. You're my sheep. I know you by name. I know who you are. I hold you in my hand, and my Father holds you in his hand. And the only way you can be ripped away from eternal life is to get through God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, and they are one." Who's greater than God? Only God is omnipotent. Only God. Only God. So you're as secure as God's ability to keep you, and Jesus says you will not, never, ever perish. Now here's the key though. You need to make sure you're one of his sheep. Because you don't get to heaven because you think you're one of his sheep. You don't get to heaven because you're a member of South Avenue Baptist Church and you've been baptized. You don't get to heaven because you've taken communion. You don't get to heaven because you come to church every Sunday. You only get to heaven because you know the way. You know Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, put your name in there, believes in him shall never perish, but shall have everlasting, eternal life. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed of the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one sin that will send you to hell. You can commit all the sins of the world, but there's only one sin that will send you to hell. Listen to me. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that sin is rejecting Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. That's the only sin that will send you to hell. Every other sin Jesus paid for, but that sin, Jesus said, is an unpardonable sin. To reject me as Savior and Lord will not allow you, permit you to go to heaven. And if you don't believe, you're already condemned. You're already condemned. I want to close with this. What is the promise of the shepherd? We talked about the characteristics of sheep, the needs of the sheep. What is the promise of the shepherd? Verse 10. One of my life verses is verse 10. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life." God comes, Jesus comes to give us life. Life as compared to death. Life is compared to sorrow. Now, this life holds some sorrow, this side of eternity. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life. Life. Now, think about that. It's the spring of the year. Bonnie and I went on a cruise last week. We came back. Man, a lot of the trees were dead. When we left, it seemed like they were dead. We came back, man, green trees everywhere. Some of the flowers were not budding when we left. We came back, there are flowers all over our backyard where they're budding. Why? Because there's life there. They seemed lifeless when we left, but when we got back, there was life that just came budding out. I think that's an image of what God does for us in, through Jesus Christ. Without Him, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. But with Him, He gives us life. But not is it just life, but it's abundant life. He gives us abundant life. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus didn't come to give us just a little thimble full of blessing. A little teaspoon full of blessing. A little teacup full of blessing. No, He's bringing the 55-gallon barrel, buddy. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus has come to give you life. Me and my wife were on the cruise, and I know sometimes we did things and acted silly and had such a good time, people probably thought we were drunk. I'm here to tell you, we don't drink. I don't like the stuff. I think we have more fun than people that do, because we enjoy life. But it's a life lived with God at the helm, with Jesus in our soul. Life lived for Him is lived at its best. There's more joy. There's more happiness. There's more pleasure. There's more enjoyment lived with Jesus than you could ever live without Jesus. Jesus came to give us life. He came to give us abundant life. And I want you to know this. Life begins the moment we walk through the door. We walk through the door. Jesus Christ, He gives us life. And that life never departs. It is eternal life. It begins the very moment we walk through the door, who is Jesus. Some people say eternal life, we don't get that till we get to heaven. No, that's not what Jesus promised. He who has the Son has life. Life. If you have the Son, you have life. You have life eternal, life abundant, life. You have Jesus. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. From this point to all eternity, He is yours and you are His. I gave my heart and life to Jesus when I was 7 years old. From that moment to this, He has been with me every step of the way. I have not always been an obedient sheep. I have not always been a submissive sheep. But when I am disobedient, I hear His voice. I have experienced His discipline. And I know I am His. And He is mine. Do you know that? If not, this morning, why don't you make certain Jesus is your shepherd and that you have walked through the door through Jesus to get to God. Give your heart and soul and life to Him. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Invite Him to be the Savior of your soul, the Lord of your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and He will give you eternal life. You have a need for access to God and security for your soul. You will only discover that through Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with Him. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts right now in this invitation time. May we respond to Your call for our hearts and our lives. May we trust You. May everyone in this room know You as personal Savior and Lord. And if not, Lord, I pray that today Your Holy Spirit would draw them to Yourself, that they may come to know You as the shepherd of their life. May they hear Your voice today and respond to Your call and say yes to You. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.